Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see. Wow. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Cool. Wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
And we're calling. We're calling you all.
We're calling really. All of you.
Calling all of you to the center that is culture.
Yes.
For an important announcement.
Oh, please. Are you going to announce what I think you're going to announce? You go first, and then I'll announce something else.
Well, I guess the big announcement and the big thing that's going on in our immediate future is we'll be touching down in Orlando.
Oh, sure.
In only 13 days.
Yep.
And we will be beginning a journey of a lifetime.
Yes.
And I saw recently a commercial.
I saw a commercial for and Universal Orlando as well.
Was it the one with all the kids being like, you taught me how to soar.
No.
You taught me how to fly. Now, it's basically like all their kids. The idea of the commercial is it's the kids talking to their parents saying, thank you for like putting me on this earth. Now let's have an adventure.
Wow.
It was very, very, very kind of strange marketing, but...
That's intense.
Here we are going for an adventure, so we were sold, honey.
My ad experience was very targeted to me. It was just like a sexy young couple just going on rides.
And really?
It was very aspirational. I wanted to be them.
Yeah, okay, so, I get that. That seems to me more cut and dry when it comes to marketing. Like, you think you're going to get that, not like this like mind fuck about like... growing up.
About being thankful for your upbringing.
It's like, I'm coming,
just chill.
Relax.
One quick thing I want to announce for the listeners. Matt and I are jointly recapping on Vulture, not one, but two reality shows.
Mm-hmm.
One, we're 3 weeks into our America's Next Top Model recaps. They're so much fun to write. And those are, you know, we're taking a very Didion-esque tone to those. And it's fun because, you know, it's such a frivolous show. And but it actually deserves a Didion-esque critique.
Yeah.
But we're also recapping, and this will come out the Thursday of this week, RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 3.
And that one we write more like the trash that we are.
Exactly.
We don't use a voice that's not our own. And that one we write as us.
Well, they're both our voices. But,
right.
But the Drag Race voice is, the recap voice for Drag Race is more key.
It's more like, ooh.
It's like, sugar children, honey children. That
whole kind of like language.
That whole kind of language.
You guys know what kind of language we're talking about.
So please check those recaps out. Leave
check
a
them
comment
out.
If you'd like. I think that drives engagement. That's,
absolutely.
That's something that those New York Magazine
people
look
love
for.
To engage.
They love to engage, but then they'll see, oh, these recaps have comments.
That's actually rule number 17 of culture.
People love to engage. Absolutely. So, let's introduce our guest. Oh, our guest.
I'm very excited.
I'm so excited.
This is one of the best.
I've loved our guest for years and years and years now, but I just loved him? I've loved him because
You are in love with him?
Do you remember that? It Gets Better, and I'm sorry, this is like really dating everybody here.
Oh, I remember. And did you fall in love with him when you watched his It Gets Better video?
I fell in love with everybody in that video.
And now you're deflecting.
Him. I'm saying I fell in love with our guest and other people.
Polyamorous.
It was a polyamory.
It Gets Better.
Our guest.
Moment.
It was Chris Kelly. It was, you know.
Keep going.
Oh,
all of them that were so impactful.
Lucas,
keep naming all the impactful.
Tony.
It Gets Better.
Many of them. I think Michael Martin was in it too.
Beautiful.
Okay. So anyway, our guest I've loved since that day,
mm-hmm.
and then I've seen him on stage, seen him in movies, seen him on TV, seen him, and I will see him on stage very soon.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Why is that?
Because he is the star.
Taking the Soho Playhouse
the
by
Soho
storm.
Playhouse by storm. Taking some gay icons by storm.
Oh, surely one of the biggest gay icons has been taken by storm and swept out to sea recently.
And swept out to sea. We'll talk about this.
We'll discuss it.
But our guest is the star of the hit show Bright Colors and Bold Patterns at the Soho Playhouse, directed by Michael Urie. It's such a great show, and
yes.
I can't wait to see him in the lead role.
Yes.
Of Gary.
Here we go, baby. He's about to take Gary by storm.
And please help us.
It's a storm of a show.
It's a storm of a show. And
honey, every emotion.
The producers of the show would like us to let you, the listener, know.
This is really exciting.
That they are now accepting Bed Bath & Beyond coupons to transmute into a discount for the ticket.
Knock some dollars off the top.
Absolutely.
With your Bed Bath & Beyond coupon.
Oh my God. Everyone has, it's like bringing a can of Coke to Six Flags.
And you know what? You're never sorry you did.
Okay. So our guest is resplendent.
Oh,
I love him so
exquisite.
Much. Please welcome Jeff Hiller.
Wow, how do you feel after all that?
That was so exciting. I kept wanting to talk, and I was like, don't say anything.
Jesus Christ. It's like a roller coaster that never stops going up.
I know. I was like, is this going to keep going?
And now it broke down, and it's rolling down the back.
And the whole time, I was like, oh, everyone's going to be so disappointed when it's me.
No, wait, no.
Are you choking us? Everyone's at home crying and screaming with joy.
Crying and screaming. And Jeff, it really, because Drew had announced that he was leaving the show for a while, and I was like, oh, that's too bad.
It's sad.
And I didn't know the show was going to keep running.
But then
as soon as you were announced, I was like, this makes
100%. I was like, get
sense.
Drew out of here.
Get Drew out of here. Get
he
Jeff
can't
in.
Leave. He can't leave soon enough.
Get Jeff in.
I said, this hack, I've been thinking about it. We got to get him out of there and replace him with Jeff.
Oh, my God. And
that's when RuPaul decided to go, too. I was talking to Ru.
We were talking
like,
to Ru.
Oh, yeah. Wait until they replace him.
And even Ru was. Ru. Oh, I wish I could pull up the tweet because Ru had nothing but amazing superlatives.
Oh, yeah.
For Jeff. Saying he was amazing, fantastic.
There were several different words used that were very positive.
Okay, so first, tell us about the show, and then tell us about this whole Ru encounter, if you can.
My Ru counter.
The Ru counter, as I'm sure she would abbreviate
yes.
it too.
Yeah.
The Ru experience.
Not really an abbreviation. Is it?
It's simply just to insert herself into it,
which I am all for. Well, I love it on the show when they're like. Available on iTunes.
Yeah.
Which is what I'm about to do right now,
please,
right? Plug the shit out of my
show.
Come
on, baby.
Do it.
Where can we spend our money?
It's called Bright Colors and Bold Patterns. Mm-hmm. It's written by Drew Drogi.
Yes.
Who was the actor in it, too. But now I'm just rudely writing his coattails and just taking his words and being like, girl, I'm exhausted. I can't write my own show. I'm going to star in yours. It's also really, really good.
Too much.
It's so funny.
A good show.
We saw it with Drew, and in all honesty, it's very, very good, and you guys have to go. It's just like...
It's a must-see.
It's just like a...
In all honesty, why? Sometimes do you have to plug things
we were,
you don't believe in?
No, let me tell you something. We, for a long time... I'm going to come out and say this. We talked about Warby Parker. I don't need glasses at all. But I had to sell that product, Jeff. That was up to me. I was on the front lines.
You know what? That's capitalism.
That's capitalism.
And you know what? I'm no better than it. No, but what I mean is this show is so, so, so amazing. It's
Wait,
so great.
Wait, are those Warby Parkers?
These are not Warby Parkers. These are retro super futures.
Yeah, so sorry, Warby Parkers.
Sorry, Warby. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what were we, yes, in all
I
honesty,
I was throwing praise on the show.
Yes,
but also, I mean,
sorry, I didn't mean to. I shouldn't have distracted you
praise.
For that. I'm sorry.
How dare you deflect?
The show is great. It's super funny,
so
and
good.
He wrote like some hilarious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
It's very good. Mm-hmm. It's also it's a thinker.
It's a thinker. I love the aesthetic of it. It happens by the pool
in mm-hmm. Palm Springs.
In Palm Springs.
On the eve of a wedding.
On the eve of a gay wedding.
A gay wedding. Why does it have to be a gay wedding? No, it actually
No, it has to. It has to.
It's intrinsically important.
I don't think it would work without it. Or it could, but it would be challenged.
It could, but it would be another unusual thing.
Yeah, right. Now, this is an acting challenge.
Wait,
and
what?
It would be another unusual thing.
It would just be another unusual
thing.
If
it were a straight marriage, it would be another unusual thing.
It would be too much. You know, everyone, in comedy... It's better to have just one unusual thing.
Stick with one.
It's actually rule number 79 of culture.
In comedy, it's
better to
have
just
one
unusual
thing. Now, tell us what's... Okay, so before we get to the Ru counter,
yeah,
the show's great. Everyone knows how great the show is.
Everyone knows that.
How's working with Michael been? Have there been any changes to the
Michael
show?
Michael Urie, of course, director of the show.
There... I mean, I wouldn't say there's changes to the show, but like, you know... I'm a different person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't want to lay down art on you, but, you know, when I do it, it's a little different than Drew does it.
Of course. Yeah.
Also, what's cool about Drew is he's like, this part's loose.
Yeah. I can see that happening.
That's scary. If I were to get that sort of directive from someone else's work, I would be like, oh, I don't know what. Like I can't
well, that's
steer
why,
the ship.
That's why
Jeff is doing it.
That's why Jeff is the amazing actor in it, and maybe you have some more credits to build before
Absolutely.
You get that opportunity.
Absolutely.
Because if you did, you wouldn't be able to make choices.
I think actually I just didn't realize that, and I just got sweaty palms.
Oh, yeah.
No, Jeff.
Well, guess what? The crushing weight of this opportunity is now coming down on you. You are the star of Bright Colors and Bold Patterns. No, I'm curious about this. So this role is an acting challenge, one would say. It's just you from there for a long time.
Right.
You know, you go through a lot. Now, speaking of acting challenges,
yes,
we've seen 20 individuals awarded today
by
the Academy.
That's interesting.
Of Motion Picture Arts
First of
and
all,
Sciences.
Are you just saying the actors? They're the only ones
yeah.
awarded.
Well, the 20 individuals for acting,
and we're talking about
because
acting.
I'm talking to a thespian. I'm not going to ask you
about
the cinematographers.
Okay,
honey.
Good point. Good point, but the first woman ever.
Absolutely.
First woman
come
ever.
On, come on, Ms. Rachel.
Ms.
Rachel Morrison. I learned her name.
That's great.
And guess what? I don't know none of the other cinematographers' names. Just kidding. I know one, Roger Deakins.
And he's the one that's supposed to win because he's been nominated 17 times.
Is he Blade Runner this year? Because Blade Runner got like a shocking amount of nominations, and I didn't see Blade Runner.
I didn't either, but I think it looks like you're, you know, watching a... I don't know.
A video
like a
game.
Sick
a video game.
Miami
yeah.
future
like a real
video
nice
game.
One.
A real nice
yeah,
video game.
Right. Which sounds fun.
Which sounds fun and, you know, I guess an Oscar makes, you know.
An Oscar makes.
Well, okay.
Sounds fun and an Oscar makes.
Okay, so were you going somewhere with the best acting?
I'm just saying, you know, how are you feeling as an actor who can look upon this list and really say what's what? Whereas we are just two squawking chickens out here who pretend to know that we...
Wait,
we pretend we
what
know
is
anything.
The qualification because I'm in a show with
you are acclaimed.
Only me.
You are.
You are acclaimed.
A celebrated
you have been
actor.
On stages,
celebrated.
Stages great and greater. The big and small screen.
Yes.
That's true.
And so, therefore, as someone who I feel I can truly respect as an actor, let me tell you something. Some of our guests.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my goodness.
Some real.
Real
woofs.
Hacks.
Yeah.
Couldn't
I hear
give
that.
You a line reading. Couldn't give you one.
No, I wouldn't accept it.
No.
I'd be like, get out of here, Rachel Bloom.
If this were the Jeff Hiller Awards, who would win the acting category?
Yeah, what's going on? Like, when you look at these categories today, are you gagged for Octavia Spencer?
Oh, you're saying because she didn't... See, I already listened to your episode last
she
week,
didn't
so
do,
I already
she
know
didn't
your
do
opinion.
Anything. The thing all do-da movie.
Agreed. And I think you said it the most, where you said most of her lines were just, Eliza!
Eliza, yeah. It was nuts.
I heard at the... Like, look,
it was nuts.
I mean,
but you know
I,
what, y'all? She plays the game.
She plays the game. She certainly does.
But see, we're rewarding her for doing the same thing, which is playing, you know, this caretaking person in this in a period piece.
Well, you know what? That's what she gets.
I know, but I just... we all know she can do more. She can do better.
But did you like that movie? Because I loved that movie.
I liked the movie.
You know, and I heard you guys being like, eh.
I'm just
you were like feh.
I'm feh about it and I'm feh about Three Billboards. I can't.
I'm less than feh. I'm actually
you're bad.
I'm
you're
disliking bad. Three Billboards.
Yeah.
That's like the last one I have to watch. I still haven't watched it. I don't know if I will.
You should.
I know I should. But here's the thing with should. It's like okay, maybe this
you
is my
have.
I don't think so, honey.
You should
have.
You voted in them awards.
I did. Oh. I voted for the awards, and I didn't see Three Billboards, so I'm not like on the Frances McDormand train right now. But
this
I guess
the,
I should be.
She does a brilliant performance. I'm just not
I'm sure.
And I actually don't even mind Martin McDonagh. That was some faint praise. I don't mind him.
I don't mind him.
But I found this script in particular to be like. I don't think he understands race in America very well. I think he's a
not
little
from here.
Not a little. He's way too blunt in a lot of these things.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
also,
yeah.
like, there's some contrivances in there
yes.
that I will not spoil, but I'm like, are you serious?
No,
yes,
yeah.
Yes,
I
yes,
mean,
yes,
and
yes.
look, every single movie up there has those this year. Like, even.
Contrivances?
Yeah, I mean, well, contrivances.
Isn't that just what a movie
and also
is?
Things in a movie where I'm like, that's a bad part of the script. Like, for example, I think that Get Out should win best screenplay, but there's a scene towards the end where he is packing up, spoiler alert for Get Out, he's packing up to leave, they're panicking, and he's mm-hmm. like, we gotta go now.
Yeah.
And he finds the door of the closet open, and he somehow walks over there and goes through a box and sees all the pictures of her with, like, her black boyfriends
right.
and mm-hmm. the girlfriend. I was like, what made him just walk over there and go see that?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, there's things like little things like that in the script where it should have
well,
been.
You could also say that that's a poor direction choice.
That
too.
Too
which,
that
by
too.
By the way, it was the same person, but still.
100%. Maybe it's just it could have used another eye.
Although I do believe
first feature for him though.
First feature.
Yeah,
for him.
Brilliant.
I do believe that Allison's character does sort of go over there and like. mess with a couple things as they're packing. It feels very, you know, some
it's
slight
also
version
a
of Deus
Ex horror movie, and like you let it happen. Also, I don't think they were writing it like, let's write it really tight because it's going to be under scrutiny because it's going to be up for an Oscar.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's not like Why Get Out.
Yeah, they released it like a year ago.
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
January.
Also, now that I'm looking at like
January, a time when you bury movies.
Yeah, exactly. Which is so odd because it's such a gem, and you think, but you know what? I bet they thought, well, it doesn't matter how good it is. People don't see these kinds of movies en masse. So put it out here where, like, its niche audience will see it and get on with it.
Yeah.
But
They thought it was going to be a niche audience.
They thought it was going to be, you know, not everybody, but it was everybody.
It was everybody. What were you going to say?
What was I going to say?
Nothing. Well, let's talk about the Rue Counter.
Or you're jumping around.
We were on this path.
We're going to jump back.
We were talking about
the Rue Counter.
And I'm jumping around. It's really me that's jumping around. You have to understand, I had a coffee and a half today, and so now I'm a killing machine.
A la
Scarlett Johansson and Lucy. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's using 100% of your brain.
100%. I could take those glasses right off you and switch it out with some Warby Parkers.
She was like just all hips and tits.
Was hips, tits, and a violent attitude.
Yeah. Good for her.
The Rue Counter. So this, for everyone that might not be up to date about this, on Twitter, RuPaul posted a lovely picture of Jeff and Rue and a glowing review. Now, did you get to talk to RuPaul for an extended period of time?
You guys, the Rue Counter was everything I wanted it to be.
Oh. And we keep hearing that it is.
Do you know what I mean? You know, like they say, don't meet your heroes and all that business?
They do say that.
RuPaul could not have been more wonderful, kind, beautiful, amazing.
Go on, explain. So what happens? They bring Rue to you.
Yes.
They say, you
sit here.
Well,
they told me, they were like, somebody's going to be in the audience. Mm-hmm. And they were like, I normally wouldn't tell you this, but he's requested to sit in the front row.
Oh, my God.
It's leg room.
No, you had to know beforehand.
Yeah. And I'm glad they did tell me because I don't look in the front row because I'm acting.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you're not focused on them.
Isn't there.
You're not focused on them. You're focused on the piece.
Yeah. On the piece. Exactly.
Focus on the piece first and foremost.
Exactly.
Servicing the word.
I want to honor the text. And but I did. I said something, and I heard that giggle.
Oh, no.
You know the one that's like on the on the bumpers.
It's on the bumpers. Yeah, the world famous one.
Oh my God! It was. I was like, crap.
I was going to say, did it terrify you or did it fill your spirit? Or both?
It was like, this is so exciting. Don't mess up.
Yeah,
like that mean voice inside of you.
You know what, though? I bet you could have reacted to that because guess what? Everyone else in that audience heard that laugh, too. And they're like, we all know that RuPaul is here.
Yeah.
You could have been like...
It's true. I will say, once I realized where he was sitting, I did notice like a lot of people being like, watching
checking
to
in.
Just like
100%.
Hard to the right, you know what I mean? Not looking up at the stage.
Yeah,
not looking up. So Rue's in the front row.
Rue's in the front row.
She's loving it.
Who's Rue with?
His husband.
His husband. His
come
cow-
on, husband.
His cowboy.
Yes.
His rancher husband.
Yes.
They live in Wyoming?
Yes.
I think Montana.
Montana sounds better.
I don't know if that's really true.
You know why Montana sounds right? Because Montana is right.
Yeah. I'm making it sound like I'm way closer to RuPaul than I am. Well, I don't know. Let me text him.
So he's enjoying it. Like, did he laugh throughout?
Yes. But you know, it is that one thing though. Like, okay, so I one time, there's no way to tell this story without having a little brag in it, okay?
Give the brag.
Jeff, you've earned it.
You know what? It's actually rule number 100 of culture.
Give the brag.
You've earned it.
That's an even 100. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Even 100, yeah.
That's how special
that
rule it is.
That other one was only 17. I was like, that's really high on the list. I thought that was impressive.
You'd be shocked how arbitrary.
Yes.
Completely.
No
150%.
Anyway.
The brag.
I one time auditioned for Stephen Sondheim.
Oh.
And he was looking at me like with such like just this really nice gaze or whatever. And then like 2 weeks later, that Sondheim documentary came out on HBO.
Yeah.
Where somebody asked him like, you know, when you go to see a show, you must know that people are watching you watch it. And he's like, I don't think about it so much then, but I really think about it when people audition for me. I just make every single one of them think that they're the best.
Oh.
And I was like,
I'm sure it was very good.
That doesn't, that means anything. That means you were either actually great or he just, you still got to audition for fucking Stephen Sondheim.
It's so true.
What did you perform? So what did you perform in front of him? One of his tunes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Which was which one?
I'm Calm from A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum.
Wow. It's a deep cut. People don't touch a funny thing.
People don't touch a funny thing.
That's rule number four of culture.
People don't touch a funny thing
happened on the way to the Forum.
Oh, wow.
That's not true. It was just revived in the 90s and it ran for like 6 years.
I mean, they had What's His Face.
I think that Nathan rule
Lane.
Works two
and
ways.
Nathan Lane,
and then Whoopi Goldberg replaced.
Really?
Didn't they have,
she played Pseudolus, like the lead, like the Nathan Lane role.
Didn't they have a George Costanza, that actor?
Jason Alexander.
They had Jason Alexander in it.
Probably.
Comedy Tonight.
Comedy Tonight. Remember
See,
Jason?
It's not that deep a cut.
It's not that deep a cut. It's not
no,
deep a cut.
I know it. I know it.
But you were gonna say,
Remember when Jason Alexander was in the Whitney Houston and Brandy Cinderella?
Yes,
that's what I was gonna
say.
He
was the father.
Sure.
And he had a toupee, but it was like
bad.
It was like a balding toupee.
Yeah, it's impressive that like his hair is like.
Did like, you see that that documentary about Merrily We Roll Along?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh.
Well, he's like in one scene talking to the camera with no toupee on, and then in the next scene,
oh no,
unexplained
oh,
in
no.
a different interview,
just gets a toupee. Oh, no.
Straight up full toupee.
No, not even a toupee.
It's like a wig.
Like a wig.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
I thought it was kind of great.
I think it's, you know what? Yeah. That's just like, that's he's changing his look.
It doesn't matter. It's drag.
I just peaked so hard. HPJ threw up.
Jason Alexander is a drag performer.
He is drag.
He has the wigs.
He's got plenty of wigs.
So, oh, Merrily. Merrily's a sad show.
I need to be better. I'm like a Sondheim, like,
no, me too, novice.
Basic bitch. Like, I know, like, Into the Woods, Sweeney Todd, you know.
But Merrily, yeah. we should all revisit because it's the show within a show in Lady Bird. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
it's like kind of deep too. Cause
yeah, because it's about friends who wait. Am I explaining this correctly?
It's told backwards.
It's told backwards.
So and it was originally told. You've got to see this documentary.
I really
love it.
See
you'll
it.
Fall in love. You'll fall in
I
love.
Will,
I swear. Everybody, go see this. It's called the. I don't know why I'm pointing at you so
hard. I felt like maybe this is a thing where he has to. We have to ET touch in order to really get it.
Do you know what? That's
but
so weird.
I do feel like I really get it now.
That's fun.
That's so weird because anyway.
Why is it weird?
Because I just watched E.T. and I had this like flashback
That's
memory.
That's why you did it. God. That's why you did it. It was in your heart because you know that the way Elliot and E.T. connected was through their fingers. It's rule number 68
of culture.
The way that Elliot and E.T. connected was through their fingers. And you wanted to emulate that.
What a rule
that.
To follow.
We'll have to follow it.
We'll explain it all in the book that's definitely coming.
The best worst thing that ever happened. That's what it's called.
The best worst thing that ever happened.
Mm-hmm. Merrily. Because people shit on Merrily sometimes.
I don't know that they do.
I think they do.
Well, I think it got really bad reviews when it opened. And then now people have like a cult following. You know, which always happens. It's like people who are like, I don't even like Hamilton. And then you find out like, oh, you haven't seen Hamilton.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
just don't like that other people like Hamilton.
Or like you listen to three songs on the soundtrack and like didn't immediately get it.
Right.
Like
right,
that's the thing with Hamilton now. It's people are just like, people that are like Hamilton, anti-Hamilton, they're like, fuck that. They listen to one thing and they think, oh, this isn't for me. But it would be for you. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
You see Hamilton?
No, I can't afford to see Hamilton. I work off Broadway.
I know.
Jeff, surely you have a connection. That's how we
Someone
all
Someone can get you in there to see Hamilton.
I don't think so.
I think that they can. I believe that they can.
Okay, you know what? Listeners, flock to Bright Colors and Bold Patterns. Use your Bed Bath & Beyond coupon so that Jeff can buy 10, you know, California King beds.
Please.
That he can then sell to buy himself Hamilton tickets.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I've heard there's a role in it for me. Like
there's a
like,
wonderful role in
like
it for
in
you.
In the 13th tour. You know, once they've run out of power gaze.
The King George?
Oh, who's doing it now?
Yeah,
I don't know, but Jeff would be an amazing King George.
You'd be so good.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What do we think of... Did you see it with Groff?
I didn't see it with Groff. I saw it with some guy who was in Book of Mormon.
I do love me some Groff.
Rory O'Malley.
Yeah,
it might have been Rory.
I saw it with Rory as well.
Rory was wonderful.
That was technically love me some Groff.
Okay. so let's get back to the Rue counter.
Yeah,
so
okay.
So Rue sees the show.
Yeah.
And then is he... Does he announce himself backstage to you?
He enjoys the show, and then you're to wait there.
No, I mean, I just went to my dressing room and changed, and then he came to my dressing room.
I don't know. This seems too simple. I don't believe this.
He flew.
He flew. There.
Now we go.
So he came, and then you guys just had it. Okay, so talk about the encounter because when you say that it lived up to everything that he wanted it to be, uh-huh. I find that to be very, very difficult to, you know.
It's very difficult.
To meet. That expectation is so hard to meet, especially with someone like Rue. Do you guys know what I'm saying? You guys are looking at me like I'm crazy.
No. I mean, look, you don't want anything to go wrong.
Yeah. So,
and I will say that like my two that I want to meet were always RuPaul and Oprah. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's real hard to have it happen.
Yes, it can be hard.
Okay. RuPaul hugged me. And it was like a 30-second hug. You know, it wasn't just a quick one.
Oh, boy.
And he said, "You need to know you made that audience fall in love with you."
Oh.
And that touched me. That touched me.
You need to know.
And then he told his husband, George, he was like, "You didn't say anything." And I was thinking George was going to be like, "Oh, yeah, it's fine. Whatever. You know, like I'm being told I have to do that." And he was like, "No, it's fine." And he didn't say it was fine. He was like, "It was good." And then he was like, "Actually, what I really enjoyed was," and he said this like beautiful, incisive, and not incisive, insightful.
I always mix those two up.
Yeah. And I don't know. And then like our producer was like, "Can we please take a picture?" You know, so we want to like,
yeah, that's
put it out there.
Now going to be big.
Because, you know, I would never, you don't want to be the jerk who's like, "Have a picture." But of course, like, I so desperately want a picture.
Yeah, It depends on who it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He was like, "Yeah, let me take it." And he was like, "Oh, how about this? We do it through the..." And he like art directed it. And he was like, "Let's do it through the mirror so we get the light, but also like..." And then he was like, "Okay, I'm going to tell you when to look up and you just pretend like you're laughing."
Taller than you or shorter than you?
I think you're kind of the same height.
Same height. Wow. Beautiful. Just very tall.
Just very tall.
And this would be two tall icons meeting face to face.
Tall icons.
And expressing to... What did you say to Rue?
Yes, tell us.
Did you express anything to Rue?
I said, "Oh, I saw that Oprah interview you did." And then I did this with my fingers to insinuate
that you
crying.
Had clawed at your face.
That you were clawing your face.
That I turned into the ring
get to your own bones.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Thanks."
He goes, "Oh, yeah, it was great." I don't know. He didn't say
anything. Yeah, my conversation with Oprah, sure.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And then, of course, you guys parted ways, but not before you exchanged numbers. And home addresses.
Yes.
Okay.
They opened. They invited you out to Montana.
Yeah. Right. Somebody did text me, and they were like, "Did you go out after?" And I was like, "Why are you asking me that question?
I don't think Rue goes out."
I know. And you know who else doesn't go out? Me.
Joe Filler.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. After the show? No.
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 After the show, it's time to go home.
He came to the Saturday Night Show that starts at 9:00.
Oh my God.
Oh. What does it go till 11?
Not quite.
10:45.
But you have a home to go to? How's Neil?
I do.
Can we talk about Neil on this?
Of course.
Neil, what if he was like, no.
I don't know. Neil, though, is putting out this great new art project on Instagram where he's writing his thoughts on these index cards.
Oh, my God. He's going to be so thrilled that you know about that.
I love it.
Oh, he's like a big fan of yours.
I love Neil so much.
See, the thing about you two is... Now, this is going to sound like a read, but let me finish the thought.
No, oh, my God. Okay, I would love to be read. I need it right now. I've had too good a day. I want to think about something all night.
I went back and was listening to podcasts from your old podcast, and I listened to Abra's because, you know,
Abra's
my new friend. And, I mean, blah, blah, blah.
It's like on Real Housewives when two of them start to get real close.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're doing that. Yeah. We're getting really close.
You're Erica and Kyle Richardson.
And she asked you two about your origin story.
Yeah, yes.
And so I heard it.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing is that you were like talking about this time in college when you were auditioning for improv and you were like, "Oh yeah, you took a class? Oh, you took it with Ben Rogers." That was just a throwaway.
Yeah,
back.
Yeah, sure, yeah, sure, yeah, sure. Yeah.
But
yeah.
In my timeline, mm-hmm. I'm like, Wait.
Yeah.
He was a freshman in college, and he took an improv 101
with
class
Ben Rogers.
With a person who came up years after me. Years. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like I probably taught Ben Rogers. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. That's funny. Well, yeah, that was 2009. I took
right.
Yeah.
So here's, this is why it's a read.
Okay.
Okay. I moved to LA in like the fall of 2011.
Which I remember, and this was before I even knew you. That was like this mournful thing. It was like, Jeff Hiller's no longer in New York.
Ah, that's so, I remember when that.
Well,
I remember that.
I hadn't heard of you two.
There you
that's
go.
That's the read. That's the
that's
read.
The read. That's
I didn't know
the read.
From you two. I didn't know. There it is. It's on the table.
I love
I'm
it.
So happy.
But then this queen comes back, you know. Well, I was doing long distance, so I came back a lot. But
yeah,
I came back and I was like, I got to plug in to the scene.
To what's
scene,
happening
you know?
On the scene.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And everybody was talking about Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey,
I'm gonna
know
tell
what?
You,
hey.
There were no gays when I was around. Okay, I was the gay.
But
that's
isn't
actually
that,
true.
Isn't that interesting though? Like honestly, like you were talking about those It Gets Better videos before. I was like, literally, they got every gay sort of, even sort of gay person at the time to get in that room, and it was like 16 people tops. Yep. And like now, there's like too many of us.
it's true. Yeah. Now we're the man.
Get them out of here.
We're
it's
the
true.
Man.
We run shit now. No, just kidding. Please don't come for us.
We're institutionalized. We're in the institutions.
But
we
it
are.
Has been super hard for me, though, because, like, it is, like, not hard. It's not the right word. But it is, like, it's a real, like, mindfuck.
I get it.
Oh, but
I get it. I do get it.
Oh, but you are very comfortably established, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not so much, like, I feel like, oh, no, they're all. But I am, like, oh, wait, I am the old person. Who has to reevaluate what is progressive? I used to be the most progressive person in the world. And
yeah,
now I'm
I know
like,
what you're saying.
Oh, God, I'm, you know, like that. Oh, wait, that what I just said is
problematic.
Gendered. Yeah. Problematic yeah. or whatever. Yeah.
But, oh, no, yeah, it's part of it.
No, as Oprah would say, to quote Pema Chodron,
oh,
you already have what you need.
Wait, did you just quote Oprah quoting
yes,
Pima?
Via
yes,
Pima?
Yes, via Pima. You have everything you need. There's nothing to, you know, fix.
What
or
he's
modulate.
Doing with his hands right now is some sort of like Middle Eastern dance.
Okay, see, that's problematic.
Yeah,
I know, but you know what? I don't care.
Oh my goodness. Well, listen, Jeff. I mean. Okay, and I think I've even listened to you talk on other podcasts about this, and there's one really funny there's one really funny story that you tell about you know being like the only gay person in your improv groups back and just having to come on having to do a scene with where you know it was about a man wearing a scarf, and then you said yeah, and I played the scarf, but I feel like you know like I just feel like it's always just a little, it's scary to sort of break that ground, especially in like back in the day, it was even more sort of homogenized than it is now. Like,
I will say this, I think that like for us, because there weren't super a lot of gay, you know, improvisers and actors like on the UCB stage or that we saw at all.
Right.
When like, I always like imprinted on like you and then like later on like Aaron and you know Mike Kelton and these people that kind of just made it look fun.
Right.
Yeah.
Brandon Scott Jones. You know what I mean? Like those you guys for us, I think it was the first time it was like, oh wow, this can be fun for us too.
Right.
And I think that everybody can feel like that when they're not on the inside, which is, you know, to be white and straight and kind of look the same.
Right.
Because I even think it's white, straight, brown haired guys.
Oh.
Not a lot of white, straight blondes.
Like skinny, but with like a gut that's like barely perceptible, but when their shirt comes up, you're like, oh, they've got a gut.
Yeah. You know, when they when they decide to dress up nice for Helen, that you're like, I would. And then later you're like,
wow.
No, maybe not. I'm going to go home, I think. You know, it's kind of like that. But seeing.
Those poor guys.
Yeah, you know.
It's unfair, but whatever.
It's true.
But here's the thing. It is unfair, but you know what? It's true.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, now that we kind of like are performing regularly and people can see us, that's nice to think about. You know what I mean? Like, it is kind of nice. And I do like
but
to remind myself of that.
And you are doing your own thing, you know? Like, that's also, like, I feel like putting the gay thing aside, just like people in 2003 and 2004, we thought we just had to be on a Herald team. And right. Now people are like, no.
You have to do a podcast. What is your podcast?
Exactly. You need a podcast.
And a Muppet. A Muppet has to ask you about it.
Exactly. And it has to be just you acting like yourself.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's crazy.
So you can be Abby and Alana.
So stupid and true. Like, people think that's what, like, or they think it's that easy. And then some people do tell them that's what they need to do and they think it's good advice.
But I'm not trying to crap on that because I do love that people are creating their own
thing. Of course.
And I wish I had. This is so embarrassing, but I wish I had thought of that.
No,
I wish I remembered, like, known to do that.
But also, like, deeply, deeply, like, for us, it's like, imagine being talented enough to just book
to
something and, like, start to work. Like, you are legitimately a talented actor. Like,
yeah, imagine, you know what I mean? Imagine actually succeeding in the traditional ways. Like Jeff has.
Exactly. I saw Gravity Water, and you were the actor, not the improviser. I was like, that's how you know a bitch can take a script and make a choice.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God.
I saw you do Gravity Water with Tammy Sager at DCM last year, and it was a delight.
Yeah.
Of course it was.
It was fun.
Of course it was.
Gravity Water, for those of you guys out there who don't know, is a long-running show at UCB that you should check out, where one improviser who doesn't know what's about to happen, obviously, is paired with an actor who's prepared a scene from a published text, mm-hmm. or like a play, and the actor just does the scene and the improviser has to just react to it and go along, and the actor never strays from any dialogue in the scene, so it's very fun. It's really funny.
And Jeff
regular at it
but has transitioned over to the scripted side.
Oh yes.
Actually, I started at the scripted side.
Really?
And then I was like, I can't remember in those lines anymore. Can you just let me improvise? And honestly, he was like, I'll let you do it once.
Are you good at, I mean, obviously you have to be pretty good at it, but was learning lines something that, like, you have to think about? Like, or is there something that comes natural to you?
Normally, it's nothing I have to think about. Like, mm-hmm. Even I did Shakespeare this past summer, and I didn't even have to worry about it. I just, like, learned it in the room. You know what I mean? But then you get this, and it's literally 27 pages, you know, like a term paper written. You know, it's not like in Final Draft 27 pages. It's like,
right,
a Word document, 27 pages long.
Single
you have to
space.
Remember every... Yeah, single space. You have to remember every single line.
In tiny font.
Yeah,
In six Arial font.
Yes.
It's so small.
You had to get out a microscope and learn those lines.
Like they did in Shakespeare.
Wait, we didn't talk about that. We didn't talk about Shakespeare in the Park.
How was it?
I haven't even talked to you off the air about this casually. How was that?
It was great.
Good. Okay.
How was the park?
The park was dreaming.
Did weather hold up for you?
Yeah.
Ew.
You know, I can't think of a better place to do Midsummer than the park, New York City.
The weather in New York is bad. That's what I've decided. Like, there's 3 months of the year cumulatively that it's, like, kind of okay.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is bad. You're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You agree.
I will say, like, when you're... Okay. I've done it 3 times in the park. And the first summer I did it, Love's Liberty's Lost, it was the hottest week on record. And I was like, this is...
Not okay.
Yeah, this is unlivable or whatever.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But then this last year I did it. It wasn't so bad. And... when you're in the at night, once you're past tech, there's like a nice breeze.
Oh, the beautiful breeze.
And you see like somebody's wig blowing it.
Yeah.
And it's just, it like lovely. Makes you want to cry.
That's lovely. It makes you want
to
cry.
The wig in the wind. That's the title of this episode.
Yeah, the wig in
the
wind.
The wig in the wind.
Felicia Rashad had this gorgeous, it was
probably
$10,000 wig.
Oh, yeah.
And it would blow and she looked like this earth goddess.
Yes, and you know it was nothing to her.
No, yeah. Just
well,
another,
she didn't get it herself.
Just a drop in the bucket. No, I bet she brought her own stuff.
She's
like, I'll bring
Danny
my
away.
Own costumes to this production.
That is such an ancient Felicia.
I shall bring my own. Yeah, to me, she's 1,000 years old. And always has been and always will be.
She has the wisdom of an ancient.
As I've said many times, the greatest of all time Felicia Rashad performance
is at the dinosaur.
At the dinosaur attraction in Animal Kingdom.
At Disney
in
World.
Disney. She,
Disney World or Disneyland?
Disney World.
Oh.
She portrays the head of the Dino Institute.
Uh-oh.
And she's like, welcome, welcome. And there's like, something she says after that, but
it's really good.
Yes.
That's weird because she wasn't even on a Disney property.
No, you know, show. I think they just scooped her up.
Sure, she was a free agent.
Yeah. They saw her in Raisin in the Sun, and they were like, "We need to get her."
I wonder if they do a lot of research where they're like, "Where they're like, oh, she appeals to our demo
everyone.
Of children."
Yeah,
maybe saw her, you
Cosby.
Know, but yeah, but then also she appeals to like you know all the gays that come. She does a lot of theater.
I mean, I think I literally and squealed, and I was like a 12-year-old kid. It wasn't like me now. It wasn't like, ooh, yes, Felicia. It was like me as a 12-year-old, like, ooh, Mom, Felicia. She's like, oh, my God. This kid's gay.
Cool it, Matt, cool it.
Shut up. We're in Florida.
Oh, my goodness. Katrina. Katrina's a bigot.
One time we were at a funeral. My mother...
Oh, says, Katrina's your mother.
Katrina's
yes,
my
yes.
mom.
And okay. I called her a bigot just now. That's
my mother has taken the has gotten the piss taken out of her on this podcast, and I don't like
Poor
it.
Katrina.
I haven't done this
You yet. Have called her a bigot. Henry, my ex-boyfriend came on this podcast, and he blasted my mother with an I don't think so, honey.
For not teaching
for how
you
she
how to
raised
recycle.
Me?
For not teaching you how to recycle.
It's just ridiculous. This woman is a goddess. And so now I'm going to blast her on the pod. So we were at a funeral one time. It was like... her best friend's mother had passed away, so we were sitting towards the back. I'm with her, and she goes, "They were doing the body of Christ, the you know,
the Eucharist.
The Eucharist." She was like, "I don't think I'm going to go receive the Eucharist because I don't go to church regularly." You know, she kind of whispers it to me, and I was like, "I mean, I'm definitely not going." And she goes, "I mean, if you go up there, this place is going to burn to the ground." And then we laughed a lot, and somebody turned around, like, really crying. It was like, like, it looked at us like, "Why are you laughing?" And we were just like, "We're sorry. Sorry. We're joking about how
you know what,
I'm
honey,
gay.
I don't think so. Yeah, okay?
Yeah. Like, I don't think so, honey. People crying during a funeral. No, shut up.
I just think if you can't tolerate a little laughter in the funeral, what is the point of living?
Honey, guess what?
That is what it's about.
There's
everyone,
no catharsis if you're not laughing, honey.
My funeral better be a HBO comedy special. Mm.
Cat Williams.
Yes.
We'll outlive you.
I want him to say the final words.
Wow. Yeah. That's gorgeous.
Who would you have perform stand-up at your funeral?
I would say...
This is real because we will hold you to this.
Yeah, no.
If you
no,
die
no.
in the next 5 to 10 years.
This is binding. Who would perform stand-up at my funeral?
Yeah.
I'm blanking. I'm going to say... Angela Johnston. the racially problematic Mad TV cast member.
And she could do her Vietnamese nail salon
bit. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
good.
Which
That's
is, good. Is actually, she does it so well.
Yeah, she certainly does the accent.
I think she gets a free pass.
She does it well.
She does it very well.
What about you? Who would do stand up at your funeral?
Like, Jacqueline Novak.
Oh, oh wow,
nice.
Beautiful.
Because she's kind of like, she mixes the you know,
absolutely. The,
yeah, I love that.
The expository mm-hmm. sort of, you know, writing aspect of it. The
yeah.
humor.
Yeah, and
everything.
She would like notice things that were happening within, I was about to say church, but it's probably going to be like under a tree or something.
Right. Let's take it out of the church.
Mr.
Like,
Hiller's
she'd be like
funeral.
Doing bits about like the twigs and stuff.
Look at this twig.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine would be Kathy Griffin.
Oh, see, I was going to say Kathy, too.
Kathy Griffin doing only Clay Aiken bits.
That's fun.
So, let me tell you about Clay. So.
That's gorgeous.
That does feel right for both of you.
Yeah.
Kathy for both of us?
Yes.
Yeah, maybe I'll make
Well, at our
Kathy.
Joint funeral.
Yes, joint funeral.
I always say I'll be the last thing Bowen ever sees.
Yes. Okay, now let's ask Jeff the question.
Yes, this is the question that we ask every single guest that quote unquote rolls through, is what the kids say, our studio to record the pod. This question is as follows. Mm. What was the culture that influenced you growing up? This is when did you decide culture is for you? This is your moment to answer that question. When did you decide?
You opened the closet door and there it was hanging.
Yeah.
Perfectly.
Next to your favorite scarf was culture.
Was culture and you
took
decided
that
to wear it.
Culture and wrapped that around your neck instead of the scarf and you kept it on forever.
What was that culture for you?
Well, first of
he's
all,
he's like, shut up.
I wrapped it with the scarf because I love to accessorize an accessory.
Perfect.
Okay, so. And I know this is going to be hard to believe, okay. But I was a bit of a flamboyant child.
You seem scrappy to me.
I guess. Oh, really?
Like, you know, like you'd be a kid who did play a sport and was very good at it.
To fly under the radar.
But also gay.
No, you're and absolutely wrong. Like, so okay. Profoundly wrong. Like, not even, like, even slightly right.
Speak on.
I was forced to play sports.
Oh.
Sometimes they would say, I remember they were like, we're going to give you a 25 cents if you win a game. And then they were like, we're going to give you 25 cents if you make a basket. And then they were like, we'll give you 25 cents if you rebound. And then they were like, we'll give you $5 if you go.
Oh, my God. What sport was that? What did they make you do?
Basketball.
Basketball's tough. Basketball's physical. It's not.
But, like
it's
you not said, physical. I'm tall. I was always tall.
Yeah. I bet they really wanted you to be good
and
at
my
it.
Dad like is not someone who gets angry at all. But he would always be like, just hold your hands up. Just hold up your hands and make sure they don't throw the basket ball into the basket.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I'm so tired.
But my hands are so gay.
That was in parentheses in his mind. Like fear.
My son's got some gay hands or something.
It's all gay. No, except for he doesn't say the word gay. But
what does he say?
Hail's Neil.
Oh, gorgeous.
He's nice. But
Yeah.
That's a good question. But he's not one to talk really about anything.
Right. Sure, you know, it's not his business, quote unquote.
Yeah, I don't even think it's that political. I think, like, he doesn't ask my sister about her life either.
Sure. He doesn't fucking care. Which in some ways is
oh,
nice.
My God. Y'all came for Katrina, and now you're coming for Raymond.
Raymond? Hiller.
Poor Raymond.
Don't worry. Bowen's parents will be roasted soon.
They will be.
All right, so.
Oh, so what I was going to say is, so because I was so gay, I didn't have a lot of friends. I didn't really have friends.
And where was this?
San Antonio, Texas. You know, bastion of liberalism.
Of Texas.
They love all people.
The Alamo was the site of the biggest circuit party in the world.
Gay orgy in the world.
Yeah. Okay.
It was?
A stupid joke.
No. But can you imagine? It'd be
that
lit.
Was a poorly thought, poorly conceived joke.
Because it would
joke.
Also be a protest by nature, which I love.
We know there's no basement in the Alamo, so you know there couldn't be a sling hanging in there. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Who says a sling has to be below ground?
Oh, I think it's a thing.
Legal. Okay.
In Texas, it actually is.
Are there many basements where sex parties happen, or is that just something of myth?
I think it's just convenient. There's no windows.
You don't have any windows. You don't have to paint them black.
I didn't know about that. Apparently, there's a sex party that happens in Park Slope.
Under the co-op. Yes.
Under the co-op.
What? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Crazy, huh?
Like, on the produce?
On the produce.
Right there by the produce where they do the orgy. It starts about 12:31.
Oh, yeah, do it right on the bok choy. Yeah.
I would love a bok choy orgy. That sounds nice.
As long as it's not baby bok choy.
As long as it's not baby bok choy, that is
problematic.
That's sick. That's sick. Sickos.
Sickos.
Well, okay. So anyway, I'm sorry. So I used to come home and I would watch TV from 3 p.m. until my bedtime at 10 p.m.
Oh. 7 hours.
Yeah, and my mom would sometimes be like, only 1 hour a day. And I'd be like,
How did you get to 7? She wasn't very strict.
I know. Well, she was going to college. There was a lot happening.
She was getting hers.
Yeah, she was getting hers. So, anyway, I can tell you, I know all sitcoms from like 1980, because you know we'd watch it in syndication.
Course,
so, like from 1980 to 1992, I could tell you. I'm an encyclopedic knowledge
of American sitcoms.
Yeah.
Do we want to test this?
Wow. So, I guess Cosby was big for you.
It was.
It was huge for me too, actually.
Oh my God, what are you?
Three's Company, big fan.
Company.
I wasn't such a fan. I mean, don't get me wrong. I watched all. You could quiz me about trivia on Three's Company. I'll get it. But you know what? And I know this is controversial.
Yeah,
I wasn't into John Ritter.
Okay. You know his son is very cute.
I know. I worked
with
him.
He's a cutie.
Once. Wait, which one? The one who
Jason.
Plays. Oh yeah, I worked with the other son.
Oh, I didn't know there was like a more handsome Ritter.
He's cute to me.
Thelma.
Thelma Ritter. Oh, we did that thing.
Wait, with the little lip sputter?
No. We did that show where I played Thelma Ritter.
Oh, my God.
What?
Wait. I don't remember this.
That Cole Escola, Aaron Jackson show.
You played Thelma Ritter in that?
Mm-hmm. That was the that character was named Thelma. It was named
yes,
after Thelma
yes.
Ritter.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Jeff. Okay, so this was a show that Cole Skull and Aaron Jackson wrote called Thicker Than Water. It was all about Eve meets Blackfish. And it was just incredible. And then
it was so good.
It was so good. And Aaron Markey was incredible, and you were incredible.
So were you.
I mean, I was just playing bit parts here and there, but Jeff, I got it. Jeff played.
He's
Thelma
an extremely Ritter! Extremely talented actor. He so played talented. Thelma Ritter.
You guys have to go see Jeff. So anyway, but okay.
Go see Jeff.
We're talking about Three's Company.
Yeah. Well, now that I know he's an encyclopedia of sitcoms of that era, mm-hmm. What was your favorite?
Yeah, all time fave.
You a Facts of Life kind of bitch?
Well, I love Facts of Life, mm-hmm. But you know what I was really into? What? And this sounds like a cliche, but
Cheers?
I was super into Golden Girls. Like,
oh, yeah, of course.
Hardcore and like early adopter. I'm not talking about the Lifetime, you know.
Sure, sure.
Mm-hmm. Also into The Nanny. Basically female-led sitcoms, Designing Women.
Designing Women
is one I don't have a vocab for.
We missed
for.
That window.
It's because, yeah. You know why? It's not in syndication as much.
Yeah, it didn't play on Nick at Night. That's where I saw everything was Nick at Night.
Exactly.
Remember when, what's her name, Dixie was on Desperate Housewives?
Yeah, Dixie Carter.
Dixie Carter was a guest star on Desperate
Housewives.
Oh, yeah,
she played Kyle MacLachlan's mother.
Yes! Yeah.
And it was this big moment. My choir teacher was freaking out, and I was like, this woman is important, apparently.
Yeah, there was a lot of actresses like that. Like Leslie Ann Warren was Susan's mother. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that's like her whole career now is like playing mothers
playing
on
fun moms
on TV shows.
Yeah.
She was on Will and Grace.
She was.
I think they all had famous mothers come through.
They did.
Yeah,
the Housewives. But Leslie Ann Warren was really robbed of like a much fuller, richer career. I think. Do we agree?
I think probably.
Just, and you watch Clue, and you're like, who that person?
I know, because you think like, oh, she's just got this shtick, you know, like she does in Victoria with like, you know what I mean. But then you see her in Clue, and you're like, oh, you're playing this like saucy lady who's like, I know what it is, I know
totally.
What I'm doing, I'm owning my sexuality.
Yeah,
I totally forgot about her being in Victoria, but she was playing this like Marilyn type.
Yeah.
Dixie
I think
Bond.
She got nominated for an Oscar
for
that.
She did.
She was incredible in that.
I think. I knew.
You knew. So are you an Oscars kind of
Do you listen to that Little Gold Men podcast?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, but that sounds right up our alley.
I don't know why I'm plugging it. It doesn't need any plugs.
But wait, no. This is a question because this is Topical Fish. Do you like the...
Topical Fish.
Topical Fish. Mm-hmm. Do you like the nominations this year?
Well, I was really thrilled that Jordan Peele got nominated as director.
For sure.
I was super thrilled that Greta Gerwig got nominated.
Yes, absolutely.
I think it's cool. I think what's like the reason I have been like geeking out on like reading all this stuff and listening to podcasts about the Oscars and stuff is because it is such a weirdo year.
It's a weird year.
And I like that. I remember that year when it was like everybody knows Alicia Vikander is going to win. Everybody, you know, and like
so boring. Yeah.
They tell you exactly who's going to win,
happen,
and you're
yeah.
like, well, why do I watch?
Right.
And you think they would want it to be suspenseful because it has people watching more. You know what
yeah.
I mean? That I remember that one year. The one year I really checked out of it, I think, was the year Slumdog Millionaire won everything. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh, and it felt like that happened, and it's just like this year is the first year where it's like. Oh, okay. Well, these movies have been being talked about for a while, and there's a lot of them, so I'm going to see a lot of them.
Are you only an Oscars person, or do you like all awards?
I like
shows?
Them all.
Yeah, me too.
She
okay.
Them
now,
all.
Here's my question for you, because mm-hmm. I think this is interesting. Mm-hmm. I found that I'm not as much into the Emmys anymore because, like, I literally know half of the nominees.
Yeah, it's weird. I have to say this. Like,
and you'd think it would be thrilling, but instead it's just like...
Oh, it's too close.
Yeah,
That's my former student winning an Emmy, and I'm sitting at home eating popcorn.
Well, who was the weirdest one for you to see get up there?
Donald or no?
Donald was weird. Rachel?
Yeah.
Rachel?
Ellie Kemper,
yeah, right,
Aubrey
right.
Plaza.
Wow.
Right. That's weird.
It's crazy. I will say, for me, it's like... When it feels like it's not too far away, it's harder to engage with it. Like, literally, like, a lot of the writing for Late Night. Like,
right.
There's almost whole staffs of that where I'm like, oh, that's, like, my peer. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That makes it feel kind of like, oh. So now it feels like the Emmys are something else.
Right.
Like, when I was in high school, I used to find out what tapes they submitted. And I would, like,
watch them
all. And I would, like, say, well, you know, so Marsha Cross submitted this tape. And that's more competitive than what Felicity Huffman showed because she submitted the pilot of Desperate Housewives. And she ended up winning. It was just,
she
like, all these things. Oh, I loved that. I loved, like, when it felt, like, strategic in a game and not about me and
right.
about these, like, iconic women. Because that's really, I only care
absolutely.
About the actresses.
Yeah, sure, me too.
But now it's funny because it's, like, several of my peers and people that I can even call friends have literally won these things in the past few years, and it's like, that's weird.
I know.
And it makes it kind of, it's kind of a mind fuck, because you're like, this thing that used to be something that was aspirational to me is now like in the ether.
I know.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I know.
But it's still fun.
Still, and will always be aspirational.
And I love the dresses.
I love the dresses. And you know, the Emmys are super fun. The Emmys are super fun. Obviously, the Golden Globes are incredibly frustrating, and I don't care.
Right.
But I think the Emmys are great, and I think the Oscars are great. The Grammys, I think, are a little bit stupid.
Well, because it's not about the awards. It's about the performances for the Grammys, I think.
And it's about just record sales.
And now it's gotten so weird where you know that you have to put on some sort of iconic performance that people are like doing these weird things where it's like, what are you doing? Why are you, whatever, like hanging from a fan or whatever.
I just don't believe that anything in music, aside from a few things, are really worth extraordinary mention right now. Like, I don't, like, and
just
so.
Just because everything is so just vast and like democratized.
Right. Well, now music is so specific like niche. And so, because you can have Spotify where you can listen to whatever you want.
Right.
And so it's like the idea that we're all on board for this one album.
Yeah,
is pretty,
it's wild.
It's strange.
Unlikely, yeah.
Yeah, and I think you're right. It is because there's so much music. Whereas, like, on television, it's like, you can still kind of, like, play this game because there's only so many things on television.
And that's why the movies are even better. Because
Like, they really narrow it down for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it is so weird, like, when you find out, like, where you're like, there could totally be a year that Lady Bird would have just been completely unnoticed.
Yeah, sure. But
many years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Get Out. But yeah,
absolutely.
This is such a weirdo year, like post Weinstein. Like, no one really knows what this aftermath is.
I woke up this morning and I actually watched them at 8:30. I just had my alarm wake up, rolled over and watched them, and then went back to bed. I was disappointed when they were coming out because I think I got used to a world in which Get Out and Lady Bird were going to get nominated. Mm-hmm. And I got used to a world where the two of them could be directing nominees, and I was a little bored with the nominations because there was no big fun shakeup nominee like Tiffany Haddish or something.
Right.
Like, I wanted something crazy like that.
Yeah.
But then I was thinking about it later, and I'm like,
Leslie Manville. That's kind of a shock.
There you go. I was like, I'm certainly not going to be disappointed in an Oscar year where movies like Get Out and Lady Bird are up for Best Picture. Like, that's pretty fucking cool.
But you've gotten to the point where you were just expecting to be mad if they weren't nominated.
Exactly. I was just kind of like, I really want just like that. I don't know. It's like you're never going to get what you need.
Well, you're
like, even on Oscar night, people are going to win and then it's going to be fucking over. You know what I mean?
But I think is what you're saying that there's such a low threshold for, for like a great, or such a high threshold for like a great Oscars nominee.
List. Yeah, I mean,
you're going to be disappointed no matter what.
You're going to be disappointed because there's literally only so many possibilities, and you've been told them all and seen every possibility roll out.
So you're never
going to be surprised and blown away because that's just not how
there's
this works.
Fatigue around the whole thing.
Yeah, and I think what I'm saying is I'm not able to enjoy what a special year it is because I'm so used to talking about this.
And you've been reading and listening and
all year
deep. Exactly.
Like, so the fact that Get Out got nominated for Best Picture, which literally 6 months ago would have been the gag of the year,
we
just got used to it, and now it's happened, and we're like, cool, but it's very cool.
It's huge.
I mean, Jordan Peele being nominated, Greta Gerwig being nominated, them both being nominated.
Yeah.
The fact that they pushed out, you know, two other old white dudes, you know what I mean? Like, that's cool. Mm-hmm, things are changing. It's happening.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep.
There is uproar about it. There's demand for it.
I was going to say, I don't know if you agree with me. I think the year that things, like the sea change for me for Oscars was when Hurt Locker won over Avatar. That was when it was just like, oh, now it's like actually, it's exciting again.
Yeah, it was like, people vote for the best thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like last year with Moonlight, I personally, actually, this is a little controversial, but I did like La La Land more than Moonlight. I just liked it more. But the fact that so many people were passionate about Moonlight and then it won, I was like, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
That just goes to show this can happen.
Yeah.
You don't, wait a minute, you were more into La La Land than Moonlight, but you don't know a lot about Sondheim?
No. I do know a lot about Sondheim, I think, in terms of your average person.
Okay.
But I'm just saying I don't know Merrily. You know what I mean? I know every word to Sweeney Todd and Into the Woods and all the bigger ones and, like, you know, Little Night Music and things like that. But I just don't know, like, Merrily.
Right. It's good. It's a good one.
Okay.
You don't know Anyone Can Whistle.
I know that.
I mean, I saw
Sutton one time perform
with Raul Esparza.
Anyone comes up, and she was like, "Anything it was up." And I was just like, "This woman is a freak. She's a freak. You've seen her perform live.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
You don't like."
She's amazing. No, I literally, I saw her do, I think
I didn't understand.
No, yeah, sometimes
I could have gone either way.
I was honestly like, no, but she's genuinely
No, she's truly incredible. I will say, like, I think I've said this before on the podcast, but I saw The Drowsy Chaperone when it was in previews. Oh. Like, my family went to the city
it's
and, like
2006?
We were like, let's see this. Like, my mom was like, you know, I heard that Sutton Foster is very good. This is, like, she had won a Tony for, I think, Thoroughly Modern Millie. And she was opening this new show, and no one had talked about it. And it was, like, the cheap one on TKTS. Right. And we went and saw this show in perfect seats, like, and it was unbelievable. And you would have just left that theater thinking, well, that was really good, too bad no one's talking about it. But then it like was so big at the Tonys, people love it, it's like this cult
hit.
Did
that number that was kind of what
show
made
off.
Her a star.
Oh, unreal. I mean, seeing that live, I think I even said at the time, I'm like, I think this is the most talented person in the world. I was like, this is a
also,
real performer,
one hell of a costume designer.
Sutton? Let me tell you. Sutton can sew. She made her own stew.
Felicia brought her own wig, and Sutton brought her own dresses.
She's like, I thought I'd bring my own things. I heard that she was a teacher at NYU.
Yeah, I remember the people who were in her class like were just insufferable for the longest time.
It's true. I'm happy
she was already famous.
Well, yeah, she was
famous.
This was right after Anything Goes.
Yeah,
this is like 2010.
Oh. No, she was like established at this point.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, but this is I guess 2010, 2011.
And some of our friends or acquaintances.
When did you graduate?
2012 from NYU. We can't help
Six
it.
6 years ago. It's been a while.
So we knew some people that. Audition. Well, everyone auditioned for her cabaret. She was coming to NYU to teach a cabaret, and at the end of the semester, it would be performed at Joe's Pub.
Yeah.
So it was big. Wow. It was a really cool opportunity to be directed by Sutton. There was a very cool musical director as well. It was all to Rodgers and Hart music. She was doing it.
Oh my God, see, this is why you go to NYU. Because
when you
know, we all get excited about dumb stuff in college, but yours actually, the stakes were pretty big.
Well, I mean, it was pretty cool. Like 10 people got this opportunity.
Right.
And a few of them were our good friends. And they said that, like, she sometimes, I think it was like in the beginning of when she was directing things, because it'd be frustrating because they'd be like, oh, I'm really having trouble connecting to this material. And she would, her advice would always just be like, open your eyes extra big and listen with your heart. And it was just like, bitch,
what are you talking about?
I'm trying, like, I don't know what this word means. Like, it's not about my heart, I don't think. She's like, try it. Open your eyes as wide as they'll go.
That's someone who's just a natural talent and
who like doesn't know how to communicate.
Like, she's like, you just do it, babe.
Yeah, you have talent and you make the talent show.
Hold on, let me do a backflip.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You
know, like, the best is when
just open your eyes and flip that back.
Flip that back. On.
Open your eyes and do a 7-minute tap dance bridge and anything goes.
I don't wanna show. It's just insane what she does. Sorry, Joe. But then the best, most revealing Tony Awards moment I've ever seen, where I was like, that bitch was.
Tony's or the Kennedy Center Honors? Oh, no, go.
Tony's. No, of course, there have been so many of those moments at the Kennedy Center Honors, but specifically, this is the Tony Awards. Audra McDonald was performing a number from 110 in the Shade.
Yeah.
And she
that
does
one.
An aerial flip.
Audra or something?
She does Audra. Audra McDonald.
What?
Who you would think just stands and delivers, honey, did a flip on stage. Go look it up on YouTube.
That is insane and delicious.
She sings fancy
when
from one end of the stage.
When
she
was in
aerial.
Shuffle Along and she did that tap dance.
Yeah, she's
I was like,
a secret beast.
Yeah, that's really, like, it wasn't like a, you know, like, no, no shade, but like, you know, David Hyde Pierce dances, and you're like, oh yeah, he's moving,
he did
it. To dance a little,
but
she was like
dancing
in the pocket.
Yeah,
in the pocket.
No, I mean, also not talking about Jonathan Groff again, but he did like a tribute to Sutton and did the whole Anything Goes number, and he also could dance the whole thing. I'm like, how can you be this good at all things?
Yeah, they're probably not good at something.
What do you think they're not good at? What's the thing you think Audra is shady at?
Algebra.
Oh, Audra.
Math.
Straight tone.
Ooh.
I know. I think that is the one thing. Is that like a fair criticism you could level at Audra? Is that like just
she doesn't
sing
do pop
it straight? I think she doesn't do pop.
Audra, can you just put it in the mask? No.
Audra, can
no.
You, Audra, can you just put it in the mask? Oh my God, wait. I'll tell you what's a real gag too. Have you heard on Spotify they have this? It's the concert version of Dreamgirls.
Oh yeah.
With Lilias White.
That
Audra.
Is so funny that you're like, it's on Spotify. Yeah, I had the bootleg, baby.
Okay, mama.
Heather Headley, though.
Heather Headley as Laurel.
Oh no. She's so good, but that she
that
was,
wasn't a part for. I mean, it mm-mm. also wasn't a part for Audra. Like,
I know
she's like totally singing awesome. Like Dino Jones. It's just like this scene where Lilias White as Effie's like, she can't sing like I can, and Audra's like, she's right, I can, and the audience laughs. They're like, ha ha. Effie, we all gotta pee.
That's why it was weird that Beyonce was Dina.
Well, I mean,
I thought Beyonce was a great Dina.
Beyonce was a great Dina because in comparison to Jennifer Hudson, like, just the volume of her voice, it felt smaller. Right. I think she made herself smaller. But then it's so funny how she couldn't help herself on Listen.
Hell
it
yeah.
was like, oh, all of a sudden she's a lion.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think she probably like rationalized it being like, well, this is inside Dina's head.
Yeah,
only
right.
the feelings that she's actually
no,
getting.
No, she's actually amazing now.
Yeah, like if you heard it on this record, it would not sound as good.
But in her heart, mm-hmm. she could sing an F sharp.
But also, aren't you just like, I want Beyonce to sing Listen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I think in this song, I should slay a full belted sea.
She should
and
sing
like,
as
okay.
Beyonce.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I get
at least
it.
She didn't break
it
out into like a really fierce dance,
yeah.
too.
Yeah. And it was just like, became the club.
Yeah, there's
oh
like,
God.
And know, then Jennifer singers. Hudson comes back and you're like, eh. We don't need it.
Matt is really has always been just notably harsh on Jennifer Hudson.
I know. It's because I lift her up the highest.
She's got some dead eyes.
She's got some serious dead eyes.
She does.
She's been through a lot.
This is prior to her having been through a lot, honey.
Even prior to that, she's been through a lot.
Yeah, but even before American Idol, she'd been through a lot. That was her whole arc.
Yeah. Yes. The struggle.
But I will say that in that Sex and the City movie, it's like,
no.
Put this poor woman out of her
yeah,
misery.
Yeah, literally take her out back.
She fell in love.
No, it
Let's
was
rent a bag and put it over your head.
Yeah, it was awful. It was not even passably good. It was like they should have just burnt the whole film.
Her arc was, that she literally got Louise. A bag.
Louise from St. Louis.
Louise from St. Louis.
St. Louise.
Oh, my God.
God. But I will give them this. They had Jennifer slay that number, all dressed up in love.
All dressed up in love,
cool in the summer, warm in the winter.
I remember the trailer for that movie was the first time I heard that Jay-Z song, you know, like where Alicia Keys is like,
oh, for Sex and the City 2. Yeah,
it was Sex and the City 2.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like,
where they leave New York.
I was in LA and I was listening to that song and I was like,
no.
Oh, God, it's so beautiful.
Please, we were back here probably like literally fighting a rat in the street.
Oh, it's true. Now that I'm back, I'm like, it's not beautiful at all.
No, it's the worst. It's bad
here.
I have
to put toner on at night, and it comes off like just a dark gray cloud.
Oh, no. Do you do a face mask?
Yeah, I love a face mask.
I've never done one, but last night I put some cream under my eyes.
Cream.
You know what I'm going to do after we... that's what you did? You put some cream? What was it? Like half and half?
It was like body butter. It was body butter. Am I using it wrong?
Wait. Did you use lube on your face?
Yeah, I put some KY in my eyes.
You put body butter on your face. The perfumes are too much.
Okay.
You're supposed to put body butter like on your feet, I feel
like.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good too. That sounds really good.
You know, this is what I do. And it's a little like... maybe like the way I'm going to describe it is going to make you feel like just like a little bit of a heave in your tummy.
Oh no.
I love it.
I like before I put on a sock, especially a wool sock, like for the day, I just lather on the thickest layer of Vaseline on my feet.
For what purpose?
Because I like how dewy and soft my feet feel
after
I take
insane.
It off.
Awful.
But I'll tell you this.
They can't smell good after.
In this show, no, they smell great.
They smell great.
Sun scented.
Okay, but in the show, you're wearing sandals.
I'm barefoot at the very end, and I'm so nervous that someone will see a cracked heel.
Oh, my goodness. Jeff, no one's paying attention.
They absolutely are. Are you telling me
some people look at feet? They do.
If somebody was up on stage and you saw, like, don't you always pay attention? Even like if the show is great, aren't you like...
I'm not fixated on
that. Aren't you like, oh, when they lifted up their shirt, you could kind of see their belly or whatever. You're always doing that.
I will tell you this. I never look at feet. I never notice shoes. I'm guilty of this. when someone's performing on stage, I am very conscious of their butt.
Oh.
I'm always like looking like, what's their butt doing?
Mm. What's
their male,
butt
female?
Doing?
I just.
You mean you want to see if it's rattling anything out?
No, mid-show. I'm always like, what's the butt situation on this performer?
Isn't it just amazing to think like of Audra McDonald farting like mid?
Oh my god! I've literally never thought about her farting before in my life, and now I just thought
it's
of
like
it
in
intensely.
College when somebody's like, Jesus masturbated, and you're like, Jesus. You know what I mean?
Oh my god! Imagine like having that Jesus argument, man. Whether Jesus masturbated or not. That's like a very Christian camp argument.
Oh, sorry. I went to Christian college.
Okay, so did you have that argument? And what was the, who won?
Yeah, so what's the evidence behind this?
Well, it's just that, you know, he is both human and divine. So
right.
The idea that
sure.
if you are human, you would have sexual desires and right. blah, blah, blah. And also, like, is it a sin to masturbate? Doesn't
Britney
say
Spears
so
says it's sacred.
Oh, good for her.
Masturbation?
Yeah. Yeah, she said that in her Diane Sawyer interview. She was like, I feel like it's kind of sacred. And Diane Sawyer said, what? And Britney was like, actually, wait, I'm confused.
Did she really?
That's actually literally what happened. She was like, oh, wait, hold on. I don't think I meant to say that.
Was that when she was saying, like, I'm a virgin and stuff?
Yeah.
Remember that interview where her eyelash fell off?
No, wait. It wasn't.
It wasn't. So weird?
It was after Justin Timberlake had told the world that he fucked her. And Diane was like, so we heard, actually... Maybe not so truthful. It was like very slut-shamey and weird.
Was this the interview where she like broke down and cried?
No, that was with Matt Lauer.
Hmm. Oh, boof.
That's where her eyelash fell.
Yeah, that was that one. She was not in a good place in that interview.
Poor baby.
Yeah.
But I also was like, who put her eyelashes on that they fell off from a blink?
Some Louisiana makeup artist.
Are you a Britney fan?
Yes, but not like
yeah.
I'm not like a super fan.
Right.
So,
but like
do you follow her on Instagram?
No.
It's
somebody
something.
Just told me you should follow Catherine Zeta-Jones. And my friend Jen Harris.
That sounds scary.
That sounds intense.
Like she'll like post a thing where it's like a refrigerator just completely full of ice cream, and she'll be like, "My friends bought me ice cream."
Oh my god, I need to see that. Oh my god. Clonopin dream.
Oh, that poor thing. Is she okay? Yeah. So Matt and Marvin and Dave have this joke in one of their shows about how, like, you know, to conjure up Catherine Zeta-Jones's essence, you would just need clonopin.
You need a black cat, a courtroom, clonopin, a whip,
jazz hands,
and a solid eye,
cat eye,
a dark smoky eye, mm-hmm. and then poof, you put that in the cauldron, you get Catherine Zeta.
You know what? So, that's someone else who's been through a lot is Catherine Zeta. So
yeah, absolutely. Look, they've all been through a lot.
I know,
she's now open about how she has bipolar. I think
she's definitely is disorder. Out and proud about not out and proud, but she's
taking away the stigma.
Come forward there about being bipolar, and yeah, it's important.
And we have to
she
applaud.
Was also, I think, she's rather friendly with Michael Douglas because she was on stage with Kirk Douglas at the.
No, they're still technically married.
Yeah.
Oh, are they married?
Yeah,
I can't follow that shit.
Well,
but yeah, apparently he's doing some interview to get in front of some accusations about inappropriate behavior.
Right, of course.
Yeah.
Well, another one bites the dust.
Another one bites the goddamn dust.
The goddamn dust. Now,
she looked well at that award show.
She did. She was wearing a nice see-through black gown.
I got to tell you, I in Chicago, she
slayed it.
The best.
She slayed it.
The best.
I watched that movie so many times just for that, but I can't do it alone.
She made it as good as it was, I think.
Yeah. Just when she just walks up that fucking balcony.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. And you know what? I think my first public performance of queerness was to gather my eighth grade friends in my living room and perform the Hot Honey Rag for them.
The Hot Honey Rag.
As the movie was playing in the background.
Talk about a deep cut.
Oh, I loved it.
The Hot Honey Rag.
That was when I knew.
My dad wouldn't stop talking about John C. Reilly in that movie after we saw it. He was like, he was unbelievable. I was like, okay.
Wow.
The fuck? This is what you grab from this movie?
They could have cast a better
John
Amos.
C. Reilly.
Oscar nom.
I know,
Oscar
but
nom.
Yeah, that's a rising tide lifts all boats situation, I think.
I thought they could have cast a better.
It was just like, fine.
They could have cast a better Amos.
I think so. Yeah. Also, Queen Latifah. It's like, you know, she was the fourth choice.
Oh.
She was!
But you
I
know,
think they actually did say they would try to get Bette Midler.
Of course they did.
She would have been amazing.
They were doing the movie of Chicago. They tried to get somebody
big and body.
Although you got Roxy, you got Velma, you got Billy. Those are the big three, and then they nailed it for all three.
You know,
of those.
Remember when Renee Zellweger was huge?
I loved her, still do. Look, I made this comment. I really appreciated Lucy Liu's cameo in Chicago because it is completely implausible for an Asian woman in the 20s to be like that wealthy and that assimilated
and speak English that well.
But they also wouldn't have a jail cell in the 20s that would be interracially mixed either.
sure.
In a way, it's weird that Deidre Goodwin was there too. Yeah.
Yes, I do. I'm just saying, I loved the touches of...
I loved what she was wearing. It was like...
It was so gorgeous. It was all diamonds. It was gorgeous.
Rob Marshall had his chance to be Ryan Murphy, and I don't think he...
Yeah, he really did.
He didn't nail it.
Yeah. What was his like big misstep after Chicago?
He did
Memoirs
Nine.
Of a Geisha.
Memoirs, yeah. But then didn't he direct something?
Nine as well, which I actually enjoy.
Yeah.
You like Penelope Cruz?
Yeah, but you know, I saw the revival on Broadway, and Jane...
Miss Jane...
Yeah, she came
down.
I cried when people fly. I cry
when people fly. I cry.
Yeah, that's going to be the little quote, right?
Yes, when people fly, you know, when I cry.
When Annie Potts
was beautiful.
I'm saying Annie Potts. It was Andrew Martin, but I didn't see the original cast in Pippin. And you know, she goes up. Which, by the way, I hate that grandma number. I'm always, because you know, I saw it as a kid with Martha
la
Ray.
Luna. Yeah,
exactly.
Sophia Loren is dying as she sings it.
No, I'm talking about in Pippin.
Oh,
and
shit.
When they made Annie Potts fly, which Andrew Martin did it first, but I started weeping. I could not stop crying. It was so gorgeous.
Beautiful image. It's like when Beyoncé grabs the hook and then flies over to the B stage.
Yes.
There is
the B stage.
Yeah. That's that's what it's called.
The B stage. There's the A stage and the B stage.
A stage and the B stage.
And she's like, "Halo."
And she flies, and it's true.
And there she is on the A stage.
It's breathtaking.
That is breathtaking.
She is a breathtaking performer.
Ugh. I once was in a show. And they were like, "You're gonna have to be. We're gonna fly you." And the script is all about flying and stuff.
Oh my god!
And they were like, "You know, we'll go to Broadway, and so it'll be better on Broadway than when we do it in the regional thing." And then they were like, "So okay, actually, we're not gonna fly you. You're just gonna hang you." And then they were like, "Okay, you just need to be rolled on in this cage." It was so disappointing.
Oh no!
Just like how far it fell. What they thought their budget might be compared to the reality is staggering. There,
it was.
I don't get theater. I don't understand the money. Like, how does it happen? It's got to be crazy.
But do you want? You never wanted to do theater. You were always a TV filmy person.
No, yeah. I mean, we both kind of like. Well,
I don't know.
His journey is different than mine. I got involved in like comedy through doing sketch in college, so it was never about like we performed. I performed live and I'm a live performer, but it was never about theater for me. It was always about comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But
I just think theater is the most is the most risk inviting thing of all of the mediums.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know.
When RuPaul came,
yeah.
I realized I had skipped an entire like 10-minute chunk. And I was like, "Oh my God.
I
skipped the whole thing about Waze."
What did you do?
I was like, "RuPaul is here. You need that piece of information for later." So I just put it in. I knew there was a non sequitur moment, and so I just put in that.
Wow.
And then I went to the non sequitur again, and I almost shit my pants.
Oh my God. That's horrifying. That's very
crazy.
Scary.
Yeah.
Dang.
So is that one of the like top moments of like line forgetting you've ever had? Like,
yeah, because like I said, every other play I've done, I've had like six lines. Mm. So like, if you. You
and
know,
this is
what
all
you. Miss?
This is just you.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
But it was really stressful. Although one time I was in that same show where I was supposed to fly. I my mustache fell off in the middle of my song, and so I made a joke about how my mustache, I improvised.
Yeah,
it's a gift. And the crowd.
Well, you also
went wild.
Looked really hard to get good at it too, right?
Thank you. I did.
Just so everyone out there knows.
Yeah,
you're
it's
not
just
like a
something I.
You're
did.
Not the Sutton Foster
you
of improv.
You can't just open your eyes.
No,
yeah.
I listened to that improv in my heart.
Yeah.
And I said a joke about the mustache. And anyway, because they all laughed and I was like riding so high off of my improvisation, I completely forgot my lyrics.
Oh.
So that
you know what?
That was probably worse.
Sometimes you service a joke over the music, over the lyrics.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes. All
each,
the time.
Each time, mama.
Each time.
Okay, so I think it might be time to move on to I Don't Think So, Honey. Okay. So listen, and actually you must do our next live show.
Oh, you will.
I want to.
You will. We want you to, too. So I'm happy that that's on the table.
Just so everyone knows, we've reached out to Jeff multiple times.
Yeah. Twice. But and I been both available. Times couldn't do it.
Because he's been doing Shakespeare in the Park and some such, you know,
I love your
nonsense.
Shoes.
Thank you.
What kind of shoes are these?
They are
Bruno.
He just took
Madre.
Off his shoe and it smells, it reeks of Vaseline in here. Well, they're very cute. Bruno Mari?
Yeah, you know where I got these babies?
Where?
ASOS. No.
Nordstrom Rack.
The best. You gotta.
Hashtag resist.
Hashtag resist.
So, speaking of resisting, this is I Don't Think So, Honey, where we step forward to resist something in culture, if you will, that's bothering us entirely.
Yes.
So this is where we take 1 minute to get on the clock and just really pick something apart in pop culture. Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Would you like to go first?
I think I could probably go first.
Okay, so this will be...
something has consumed my life, and it's. I'll explain.
Oh, I know what this is going to be. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, to all my friends who watched Real Housewives and didn't tell me how good it was. Because now I have to look like an idiot getting involved in Real Housewives literally a decade late. This just happened to me with Project Runway. I'm literally 10 years late on trends. And I Don't Think So, Honey, the fact that it's also blending into my clothing, I've just now discovered unbuttoning... buttoning a flannel all the way up to the top. Apparently that was a trend like a while ago. Listen, all I know is I'm literally obsessed with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm going to specifically call out Sudi Green, who I always thought the one classy thing about me over her was that she liked trash reality TV. And meanwhile, here I am. I love trash reality TV. Now, you people should have just gotten me involved in it before. As my friends, you are cultural influences to me. And to fail me in this way, I feel is damning. It's damning. So I think that... I don't think so, honey. All of you who kept me from Erica Jane, I literally can't stop watching the Expensive music video.
And that's 1 minute.
Have you seen the video Expensive by Erica Jane?
Yeah.
I can't believe. How long have you known about it? Years?
It came out like a year ago.
Yeah, I wouldn't say
it's
years.
Taken too long.
She
for
hasn't
me.
Even been on that long, right? Isn't she relatively
it's
new?
It's her like third season, I think, or fourth season.
But she popped.
Yeah, oh my God.
Everybody love Erica.
So I just recently got into it. I watched like the last two seasons of New York, and then I wanted to watch Beverly Hills because I'm so fascinated with Erica Jane. So I started with season 6 when she started. But now there's a lot of flashbacks to this crazy-ass Brandy Glanville character.
Oh, yeah.
Who I must know what that's about.
She was married to somebody famous.
Eddie Sebryan.
Yeah,
and then he cheated on her with Miss Goddamn Leanne Rimes.
Oh, no.
Which is the gag of the year.
Leanne.
Right.
That Leanne Rimes.
Because they were in like a made-for-TV movie together.
Yes, they were. They fell in love, not unlike Ms. Brad Pitt and Mr. Angelina Jolie.
So I'm starting... So,
which I did on accident, but I don't want to change.
At Matt's recommendation, I'm starting with season 6, I believe, of Beverly Hills. And, you know, it hasn't stuck with me just yet. I'm still on that first episode.
It doesn't stick with you. It becomes a part of your life because while it's on and you're doing dishes and things around the house, like, you realize you know these women.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, you start... When, like, you know how when you're doing things in your life and you picture yourself as someone else? Like, you know that thing of, like...
Yeah.
When you just see
yourself.
A movie or something and then the lead character of that movie you like and so you picture yourself as them in your mind's eye. Okay. Does that ever happen to you?
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm Kyle Richards. And I've been Kyle Richards for a few days now, and I'm also... It's so sad. I'm Lisa Rinna. I'm Lisa.
All right.
I don't like the conflict. There's too much conflict for me. I'm a real people pleaser, so it's really awkward for me to watch.
So what do you watch? People sitting by the beach or something?
You know what? I don't like the conflict because it's real, like,
mean.
Manufactured.
It's completely produced.
Yeah. It's completely produced.
Someone's
but
telling them.
Also, the things about it are, like, so deep. It's like, hi, I'm so sorry, but did you... tell everyone in this city that I have an eating disorder? It's like never small. It's always like, you told everyone I have Munchausen syndrome, a disease in which you make up having a disease to get attention. I really have Lyme disease. It's like so specific and insane.
So apparently what they do is they they'll just like have two housewives like, you know, catch up over drinks, and they'll have them just sit there for hours and talk about everything.
Yeah.
Every possible topic. And then the team of producers will just be watching, and then they'll write down on little note cards like the topics that they'll have talked about, put them on a cork board, and be like, actually, can I have that for this episode when this happens, so that they connect these? I mean, it's like this
genius.
It's genius. It's so engineered, and it's wild. And I just it is just sort of architected in this way that just makes me feel uneasy.
What bothers me is when, like, in order to get a plot point started, one of them will just say, "I received a text with a picture." Or, like, "Someone told me this." And it's like, who?
Yeah.
And then you realize it's absolutely a producer.
Yeah, yeah. Or totally, they'll just, like, have, like, that little part will just be in ADR later, and you can absolutely tell that they were like, "Oh, we need this to edit together." So you know
that... So Lisa Vanderpump, can you say this shitty thing?
Exactly. So she's, like, in a studio being like, "Hey, can I talk to you for a second about, you know..."
ADR on reality shows is the most ironic. Okay.
Anyway, I'm really enjoying it.
I think I have one.
Here we go. This is Bowen Yang's "I Don't Think So, Honey." His time will begin now.
"I Don't Think So, Honey" magicians who reveal their secrets. I was working with a magician today on set, and he just spilled all the beans. And it, honestly, it felt like the last nail in the coffin of my innocence. It really broke the illusion completely, and I had no respect for this man. He was wonderful. He was a very talented magician, but he just had no hesitation about telling me all about the card tricks, all about the coin stuff, all about this one trick where he turns a bubble into a glass orb. It was
30 seconds.
He's an incredibly talented magician. I won't say his name, but I think he just felt like there was, you know, a rapport, a connection, and so he just let me know, and... You have killed the child inside of me.
15 seconds.
And I just had, I'm a new uncle, and just to have that inner child murdered just as my niece is born is
Five
truly
seconds.
Tragic. And I don't think so, honey. Magic the Magician. That's his name. Magic.
1 minute.
He's very talented.
His name is Magic the Magician?
I think it's an alias, of course.
And he murdered your inner child
just
as your niece is born.
Just as my niece was born.
That's the beginning of the movie about this.
Was your niece born today?
My niece was born today. No, she was born on Thursday.
She's a beautiful young girl. Aww. Ellie Weiss. I'm going to get her a onesie that says Ms. Weiss. Excuse me, Ms. Weiss. I love referring to the baby
Ms. Weiss.
Mm. Like when she starts crawling, just be like, "Okay, Ms. Weiss.
You crawl.
You better crawl, Ms. Weiss. You better learn to chew. I see you, Ms. Weiss."
But yeah, I'm one of those people now who posts baby pictures, and it's not even my baby. It's wild. I hope I don't fully slip into that.
My two best friends now have nieces, and I feel that I must care about children now, and it's exhausting.
it's a lot. Okay, Jeff.
You don't what? What were you gonna say?
Well, then I was like, "Well, should I make that my?" I don't think so, but because
whatever you'd like.
Okay. I don't know. I feel like I should try and make mine something about like promoting the show, but
no. We can do that after.
We'll
do
after.
You know what?
Okay.
Fuck the show for a second.
Okay.
Just
all right.
Let the show drop away. Just forget the show.
Okay.
Let's get real.
Okay.
All right. Now let's get back on the mic.
You know what? I'm just gonna say it then. This is gonna be mine. All right.
Okay.
All right.
This is it. This is Jeff Hiller's "I Don't Think So, Honey." I'm so excited. His time starts now.
Okay. "I Don't Think So, Honey," because like if you see a baby in your Instagram feed, all you have to do is move your finger like this. Up, okay? It's not that big of a deal if you see a freaking baby or a freaking dog or a freaking cat. They're adorable and they're lovely, and I choose to follow all of them because there is something that's inside of me that's a little bit dead, and that warmth warms it up, okay? I happen to have a cat Instagram, daily_Beverly follower for really cute cat pics. Okay? And "I Don't Think So, Honey." Bright colors and bold patterns at the Soho Playhouse is playing 4 times a week, starring me, Jeff Hiller, replacing Drew Drogi. And also, you know what? If the people like to show pictures of their animals or their babies, it's because that is the external portion of their love outside of their body. And so they have to bring it up to everyone else. And for God's sake, come see the show. It's not only serious, it's also hilarious.
Hey, yeah, I still have some time.
5 seconds.
Oh, you know what else I think? Just double tap things. It's not hard.
Yeah.
You move your finger. Okay?
And that's 1 minute. I agree. I think that people should just like.
People should just like.
Or swipe. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
What's your problem? You don't want to hear about it?
Oh, well, I have to say I manufactured a little bit of my anger, but I do think what's the problem? Scrolling a little faster.
I know, right, you're right.
Or just unfollow, like, honey.
Exactly. And like, I love hearing that you love your niece. Like, that's so nice. I think that's so, that teaches me so much more about you than some sort of like framed, you know, like, you know, like deciding like this is how I'm going to project my life.
Yes,
is like, you know,
posting.
RuPaul came to see me.
No, that's beautiful. But posting a baby pic is the most earnest thing you can do on social media, just short of posting, you know, a meal.
Yeah,
that you're
eating. That's a culture rule. Number.
Yes, number 75.
Yeah.
The most earnest thing you can do on social media is
post a baby picture.
Come on. The most earnest thing you can do on social media is post a baby picture.
I really love that I shoehorned you into having to say
you
that.
You know, here's the thing. It's not that I don't like the babies. I'm sure if I saw them, they'd be wonderful. But the other day, someone handed me a photo of their baby, and the baby was in different costumes. And I was like, I got to tell you, it's the same baby I just saw in the other costume.
That's so funny, okay. Because I love a good costume, and I especially love a baby in a wig.
I love a good costume. Oh, I love a baby in a costume in person.
Mm.
Yes.
All right.
But I love a three-dimensional baby.
Okay.
You love a 3D baby.
3D
baby. That 2D baby.
Ooh.
That's so weird, because I went to a birthday party last night and we put the birthday boy in a lift, and he was like, oh, something's under my seat, and he held up just this humongous cardboard cutout of a baby face, and he just put it on the window and drove away with this huge cardboard baby. It's hard.
That's
to
what I'm saying. They're
saying
they're horrifying when pictured.
Yeah, it was. I guess you're right. It was a little disturbing.
I'm right.
Wow. I saw someone that I only knew on social media exclusively the other day, and they described me as so much more three-dimensional. I was like, honey, you have no idea.
Wow. They didn't say IRL.
Yeah.
No, my God. Ironically say IRL.
IRL.
I do say BTW.
That's
brave. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. That's brave.
I say, oh, wait, you say BTW?
Like, by the way.
Yeah. You know. What's the one I say? Recently that I was like, why LOL. Are you saying that?
Sometimes I'll say LOL, but I think it's a joke.
Yeah. I think I say BT Dubs.
BT Dubs. Yeah. It's a safe one.
BT Dubs is fun.
Everyone will know what you mean.
It's not G2G. That's horrible. G2G. You can't say that.
I say BRB.
BRB. I say BRB too.
BRB.
BRB, I'm gonna go pee.
That's good.
Even when I'm shitting.
Yeah, because, you know, it's horrible to have to share that you're shitting.
You know what? Jeff did something historic in his I Don't Think So. I just want to point out if anyone shoehorned anything, it was Jeff shoehorning.
Oh, and you know what? I really respect that.
I respect that.
As two people who are coming up and trying to find new and innovative ways to
self promote.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Yeah, that was for Mama Ru.
That was for Mama Ru, because
from Mama Ru to you
exactly
to Guru.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That is beautiful. Well, this has been a fantastic episode.
It's been a fantastic episode, and I have to say, Jeff, when you fly,
we cry.
And I think that inspires a song.
First, we want to say, bright colors and bold patterns.
Four nights a week at the Soho Playhouse.
At the Soho Playhouse.
Bring your Bed Bath & Beyond tickets. Or, I'm sorry, Bed Bath & Beyond coupons.
Any last words for the people listening to this podcast? Because you've given a lot of knowledge. So just leave us with something beautiful, and then we'll sing us out.
Okay. If you... you should get this little tool. And if you ever get a whitehead, you can scrape it off, and it won't get infected. And I didn't do that this week.
You gotta scrape that shit off your face. Scrape that shit right off your face. Scrape that shit right off your face. You're supposed to join me on a harmony.
I'm sorry,
there.
I was looking at the peaks.
Why were you looking at the peaks?
Because I just
want
to make sure.
That's for HPJ to deal with.
Well, all right. You know what?
This has been a fucking disaster.
Well,
when people fly, I cry. Take the third cry.
Oh, we sounded like what's a three person? A trio.
Trio.
I almost said a quartet.
That's because we put it in the mask. Audra.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.